Today, is that the sounds of antennas I hear being put up and contacts being made? Yep, you guessed it. We're talking about ARL Field Day next on Live Free and Ham. All right. Hello and welcome to Live Free and Ham, a podcast. This is our bi-weekly show. And during it, we discuss ham radio topics, New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. So whether you're a regular listener or first-time guest, we are excited to have you here and appreciate your support and appreciate you guys tuning in for tonight's episode. So let's get into it. I'm your host, Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm with my co-host this evening. Go ahead.
Todd, W1STJ, and it looks like it's just me and you tonight, Eric.
Yeah, Paul is got a little under the weather here, and so he bowed out, but we wish him well, and hopefully he recovers, and I'm sure he'll be back for another round there, but outside of that, it's just us two, the amigos here, and we're running the show, so everything goes, I guess. So before we kind of get into our topic, let's catch up on a few things. Obviously, we always keep mentioning our storefront, and you know we love to because it's always one of our fun things. You can always head over there, livefreeandham.com/shop. Check out all our merch. We're adding new stuff to the store. I'm actually in the midst of creating a couple new shirts. The one that we mentioned probably prior that's coming out soon will be Todd's favorite one called Ham Radio Saved or Found Me. And I've got another one called Send QSLs after the old typical send me nudes kind of photo. So we're going to play on words with a couple of those. So we're going to have some fun with this stuff. And, you know, if you're always interested in contributing and you got a great shirt idea, we just like HRCC, we love to hear it, you know, send it our way. And we'll make sure.
This isn't one of our shirts, but.
No, but it's still.
You don't like radio?
It's kind of a smart people thing. Yeah. That it is. So, but as always, you know, we like to thank everybody who has purchased a shirt. So whether you got a classic tees or you bought one of our specialty shirts or our typical hats that we always catch us wearing here on the podcast, you know, we appreciate you guys supporting the show. We also have a new feature that we want to make you guys aware of. We know obviously some of the options in leaving reviews are a little challenging, especially if you're not an Apple user or, you know, you just can't get over there to be able to, you know, go through the rigmarole to leave a review. We've got a simple feature now. It's called Send Us a Review via SMS. So if you head over to either our website and in any one of our descriptions with any one of our podcast episodes and on our YouTube channel, there is a link that you can click to review an SMS. And it's as simple as just basically clicking the link on your cell phone or a smartphone and leaving us a review. And if you do, we will make sure we will definitely read it in the next show. So, you know, we'd love to hear from you. We want to see how we're doing. And we always appreciate the feedback. So this is hopefully one way that you guys can connect back up with us and, you know, be part of the show. And as always, you know, we are just this episode will air about a week and a half or so before Field Day. So like we mentioned, we are going to be talking a little about Field Day. And coming up, obviously, in Field Day, we will be doing some live stream stuff. So this is our live stream month. We are going to have a couple of guests on, but more so just coming up, although you might have missed it at this point, but hopefully you are subscribed. On the 5th of June, we are going to be celebrating our one-year anniversary. Woohoo! Which is awesome. Ready.
1 year already. Wow.
1 year. It's crazy. And we're already 30, almost 40 episodes in, and almost close to 3,500 downloads. So we appreciate every one of those downloads and everyone who's been part of listening to Live Free and Ham. So, you know, you make sure you want to be in on those shenanigans, as they say. Feel free, you know, make sure you're part of that. And we will also, like I said, be doing live streaming from Field Day as well. We are all probably going to be attending our local club Field Day. So if you, you know, are around, make sure you pay attention Friday, Saturday, and throughout the Field Day weekend. We will be making sure that we get on live stream and, you know, have some fun with that as well. And because our VE Quizmaster is obviously unavailable, we are going to forgo this week's episodes on getting Todd his extra. So we apologize if that's a segment you like yourselves look forward to every episode. We will make sure we pick it back up next episode go from there. But our favorite thing that we just have going on, which is another another episode or another segment we have here.
Doing good.
Good.
Doing good.
You do. That's good.
Do good. Do good.
You're doing good.
Good.
Absolutely, I do. Good. Good.
Doing good, Bob. Doing real good.
And right now, my only outlet is my ham radio.
That is true. Ham radio is our only outlet. Well, not really, but it's one of many. Well, we want to start a new segment where we take kind of a different spin here. We all felt that, you know, when you ask about joining or you ask about, you know, ham radio and joining a club, you get 55 different reasons why you shouldn't join one or who not to join. So we're going to take a different approach and showcase the good, you know, that our clubs are doing in your area. So we are starting a segment here, and we have one that we want to share with you this week. It happens to be our own club. But, you know, if you are doing something great and either promoting your club or getting people more interested in an activity or whatever, we want to hear about it. So if you get a moment, you know, and you want to share that with us, you can head over to your email account or our website and use the comment form there, or you can email us at livefreeandham@gmail.com and let us know what your club's doing. But for this episode, I am going to share just a little segment that, you know, we are doing in our club to showcase some of the good that's happening. And this one is one of our dear friends, Tim, KC1QDK. He is a CW, we'll say master or working towards his master as a CW person. And he has been very vigilant in obviously staying the course and learning to practice. But at the same time, he is also dragged in, or I should say, encouraged others to come in. And he's created a thing in our club called Code Buddies. And every week he is diligently sending out notices and getting people involved. And he's using, you know, we'll say ham radio adjacent kind of style of CW training. Instead of using the airwaves, he wants everybody to obviously be able to get in there and have a shot at it. So he's using a tool called V-Band, and he is having a great success at it. He's seeing a lot of people come in. Some are lurking, some are just hanging out and just, you know, getting a feel for it. But there are people that he's had both here locally in our club and in our area and, you know, even outside the area that are just hearing about it. And they're all, you know, supporting him and helping out. And they're all learning how to be more CW proficient. So this is a perfect example of what we're talking about when we want to say, you know, doing good in your club. You know, so we want to encourage you. So if you're just kind of sitting on the back of your heels there and wondering, you know, when someone else is going to do something, then you're the person that, you know, should be the one going out there and starting something in your club and you know, maybe, you know, encouraging others to get out there and do some stuff, both as a club and, you know, as individuals in your club. So, you know, that is what we're looking for, guys. So this is what we mean for our do good segment. So, you know, we want to hear from you. Make sure you email us at livefreeandham@gmail.com with some of your experiences and what you're doing in your club. And we'll be happy to share that on our next episodes and any other future episodes going forward. So, you know, definitely do that. We want to give both props to you and props to your club. You know, get their name out there and let folks know that there are good clubs out there that are doing some good stuff. So, all right. That kind of triggers and leads us into our usuals. So Todd, you know, obviously what's been going on with your ham radio week, and you know, you can throw it over to me after you're done.
All right. Well, I don't remember if it's the last time we did a podcast. I did get Arkansas. Did I talk about that?
Or yeah.
I was going. Yep. All right. Yep. So I got another state. I got New York, Memorial Day weekend. My son had a baseball tournament in Saratoga Springs, New York, a beautiful city. They already had the thoroughbreds there. I guess the next 2 years, this year and next year, the Belmont Stakes is going to be up in Saratoga because they're redoing Belmont Park. So
nice.
There's a lot of horse stuff going on, at least prep. And that was last weekend, and the race is next weekend. So they were up there a few weeks early. Anyway, happened to be literally next door to a huge park.
Wow.
For my hotel.
Which
so
park?
I got up. It's in Saratoga. It's this huge, I forget the name of it, but it's okay. A huge, like it's got pools, museums, hot springs. I mean, it's pretty. So So I was right next to it, and I'm like, I'm like, I'm gonna go check this out. So I grab my bag and take off in the morning, and I go sit down. I find a place right next to this Ferrari automobile museum that's in the park, and I found a picnic table and went up, and I made like 40 something contacts, and it was a little rough. Fans weren't as good as I wanted them to be, but I made the contacts. It was good, and I picked up another state. So, you know, we're not too far from New York, but far enough that you'd have to make a trip for it. So I was glad I got that. So now I've got all of New England and New York, and I got to hit New Jersey, Pennsylvania. I'm going to keep working my way south until I get the whole coast. But it was good. It was a quick activation. I was only there for maybe an hour, hour and a half.
Dude, 40 contacts in an hour, that's pretty good click rate. Yep.
Yeah, they just weren't very clear. There was a lot of QRM, and a lot of the bands were fading in and out. So, like, I'd get someone, and they'd, like, disappear and come back. And I was only on 20 meters. And like I said, I was trying to fix this in with all these baseball games that we had. And it was my last shot, because we were leaving that night. And I'm like, I got to do this in the morning. So I got up early. Everyone was sleeping and went out and did it. So,
Dude, that's awesome when you can get out there and squeeze something in and still be able to like feel like you're like, hey, success.
And it's like with my Buddy Pole Pro and my setup, like I can get that thing set up so fast now. Like it's not even like you don't even have to think about it. Like it's not even like a hassle. It's like, oh, I'm just going to set this up and be done with it. So,
yeah
it was good.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like good. So that park, actually, I just kind of did a quick look on your log there. Saratoga Spa State Park, is what it's
Spa, yeah. Yes. So, you know, they call it Saratoga Springs, right? So I'm guessing there's some kind of springs. But when you drive by this park, there's a salt bath building. And the building looks like it's old, but like, so I'm like thinking like the Roman baths, like you go in there and it's like, oh, I didn't go in, but so that was that. And then they had like another spa, but then as you go in, there's horseback riding trails, there's a golf course. What else was there? They had a flea market thing going on, like in one of the things that was, they were setting up when I was there. Nice. Pool, like a public pool that you can go to. The pool after the games, we went back to see if we get the pool. It was so packed that there was like a waiting list to get into the pool.
Nice.
Yeah, I was like, what? And I guess there's a hotel back there. I didn't go that far back, but really pretty. Cool place to go hike and walk, and if you want to ride your horse or play golf, it's, and a road goes all the way through, and it didn't cost anything to get in. And
nice.
And like I said, there was a car museum, which was kind of cool. Yeah. I didn't get to go in that because it was closed, but it had Ferrari and stuff on it, so I'm sure they had some old cars in there. So it was a nice place.
40 contacts, you came out of it with a semi-terrible okay band condition. So, you know, hey, that ain't bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, it wasn't like I didn't get contacts. It was just like there was a lot more out there that I just couldn't hear. Yeah. And some of the contacts we really had to fight for. So those of you who worked me that day, and you dealt with the thing, I appreciate your patience, but we got through some of them. And I did work a guy on QRP, which was kind of cool. He was on 5 watts, and he was in Minnesota.
Wow.
Which was crazy, because I heard him better than some of the other guys that were 100 watts.
It wasn't Kevin. It wasn't K0KLB, right?
No.
That would have been funny if you just totally glazed over and didn't pay attention.
Yeah, like, I have to go look, but I don't think it was. I think I would have remembered that.
He would have picked up on you pretty quickly, too, as well. So.
Yeah. Cool. But, you know, it was cool. It was a good activation, and I was glad. I was happy, you know, once I got to 10, I was like, all right, I activated the park, so I'm good.
All done. Very cool. All right, well, you know, that sounds like a pretty successful day in my books, at least, you know, for, you know, photoing and whatnot. But I didn't fare so well. I think I got the reverse of that. I had a couple of activations. One of them I already kind of shared about, but I think this week I was in Concord, Concord Historic, you know, District. If you've ever been down there, that's, you know, the center of Concord and kind of the historical side of things. And
talking,
you know,
Mass,
Concord Mass. And so I, you know, was like, all right, well, I brought my gear. I figured it was a nice day. It was good, 70 degree weather, breezy. And I was like, all right, I'll go up to, you know, the closest park. And one of the parks I haven't activated was the Constitution State Park or National State Forest or something like that. And you know, I sort of looked at the band, you know, SFI index, and I kind of went, whatever. Yeah, fine. You know, and at that point, I think it was like red, you know, horrible. Like, doesn't matter what band it was. It was like, you're better off activating in the evening hours, you know, kind of telling me. And I was like, yeah, you know, go pound sand. So I kind of set up, and it was a beautiful park. I literally had no, I mean, nice and breezy. The one thing I didn't have at the time was my coil, because I had, you know, basically taken it out of my bag. So all I had was my 2 13-inch whip, my Wolf River stand and stuff like that. So I was like, all right, I'll just tune that up on 20 because, you know, heck, that'll be the closest I can get it. And set up, and the bands were literally dead. I mean, like, I barely heard, like, I could spin the dial and like the 30, like, I looked at the POTUS spotting page and there was 34 POTUS sites. I didn't hear one. I spun the dial all the way up and down 20. And then I kind of turned to myself. I'm like, oh no, this one's going to be a long haul. Like, I didn't think I was going to be there for more than, you know, 30 minutes. I was there for about almost 2.5 hours, I think. And you know, it was a long slog for 11 contacts, and 4 of them were all like Envis. So they were like Concord, another guy in Belmont, another guy just in Nashua. I'm like this is really, really horrible. You know, and so I was recording the whole thing, and I felt bad because when I made the video, I'm like, dude, this is a long video. There's like, and you when you make videos about POTA activations, no matter how much you try to shorten it up, you really can't shorten it up an activation that's almost 3 hours long, you know, and not kill somebody with like boredom. So I was like, all right, I'm going to make this a little humorous and kind of turn it into an arcade game and, you know, a few much other things. So I made a video on it. If you're interested in, go check it out, you can go look on my channel.
Is
on
it 3.5 hours long?
Oh no, God no. It was barely 12 minutes long. And that was with all my extra add-in, you know, volleys and stuff like that. So, but it, you know, it kind of made me understand and learn that we are in the good times when it comes to the band conditions. So if I can operate in these conditions, that when we get to the end of the solar cycle that we're predicting that's going to, you know, eventually come down the road, as to when, nobody really, you know, has a definitive number, but, you know, I'll be prepared. I know like what I should be bringing and what I, you know, need to add to my, you know, arsenal. So when those days come, I can, you know, hopefully
we need amps is what we need.
Well, so you can hear some of these guys. It's just a matter of, you know, just having the antenna, getting the antenna like freaking way. I mean, literally I was only on a extended whip, and you know, I probably, if it was the band conditions were great, I could have lowered that down to like its original size and probably activated no problem. But right.
When we did our rove on the seacoast, I mean, we set the thing up on 10 meters and Europe was coming in, like we couldn't stop them.
Exactly.
I mean, it was a great day. You know, I was like, now that's what I'm talking band conditions. Like, lately it's been like you got to work it, and I think it's good. I'm like with you. I'm glad I've been able to activate parks with difficult band conditions, because I think it just makes you a better operator. You know, you're trying to hear things and you have to work through, and if you're missing something, and I'm always super polite. I always thank the guys that are being patient with me and trying to get their call sign. But you know, sometimes the guy's like, oh, I got you a 5.9. I'm like, 5.9. I'm like, I can barely hear you. Like, you're like a 1.1.
You're barely a fart in the wind.
I'm like, geez, like, how can you hear me so well?
I know. That's exactly. It's funny. One guy I had a contact with was, he's like, oh yeah, I know where you are. He's like, I do reenactments over in that area. And he went on for like 3.5 minutes about how he did all the reenactments over on the battlefield. And you know, like, oh my gosh, like this is well worth, you know, the time spent just having a conversation with him.
It was good. And like I said, it's don't not go out because you think the band conditions might be bad, because you'll never know. You could always get, and then there's always someone out there that you connect good with and you can have a good conversation with them. But
and don't worry, like the other caveat to that is like, don't always go with the expectation that you have to always activate the park. It's nice to, but in essence, you know, if you can't after 3.5 hours get 10 contacts, don't give up. I mean, the other option is if you bring your HT and you remember, you know, then you can use 5.2 maybe, and, you know, leverage that a little bit, which might be a benefit. And I probably could have done that because being on a hill, I probably would have had a really good, you know, range, but I didn't even think to bring my HT with me. And I didn't even think to hop in the truck and turn on 5.2 and call POTA, you know, CQ POTA from there. I should have done that. Yeah. It would have been a lot easier, and then the pain that I caused myself. But you know, hey, it's a life lesson. You enjoy it. You know, like I said, any day not working, playing POTA is a better day in my book. It's the way I look at it.
Yeah, there you go.
So that was it for me. And then, we did a couple other things. Today I actually was supposed to go out. You know, we went over to Bear Brook with the dog. And of course they don't allow dogs there. So I didn't get a chance to activate that park, but you know, hey, it is just kind of what it is, but you know, you live and you learn, you just, you know, you kind of roll with it, but looking forward to it.
They don't allow dogs in Bear Brook,
which is freaking weird. Like, you know,
all these dead bodies, so right?
Probably.
They do. You heard about the murders there and the.
I have, but I didn't know people. They were in the park area. But yeah.
I'm like, they don't let dogs in there, but they got steel drums of
body parts.
It's a good podcast. Just listen to it.
Okay.
It's called Bear Brook. It's actually pretty interesting.
Well, there you go. So if you're into that murder side of stuff, then
that criminal stuff. I just think it's a park. Isn't that where dogs are supposed to hang out in the park?
Yeah, I think so, but they're very, you know, they're very pointed about posting it every like 5 feet that dogs are not allowed there. Okay, fine. Okay, I get the point. Anyway, so with that, it turned out to not be a bad day either way, even if I didn't get a chance to do a little POTA. So that kind of segues kind of in a good, light here. So, you know, obviously with this podcast launching about a week or so into or a week before our official, you know, yearly mecca that all ham radio operators make their journey out to. It's sort of like our Burning Man or Coachella. I mean, we kind of treat it that way. I mean, obviously without, you know, all the sex, drugs, and rock and roll in some case. But, you know, it's always filled with, you know, the typical songs of our, you know, CW dits and does, you know, the shout outs of Four Alphas or One Hotels or Charlie Tangos. But, you know, our little slice of field day, you know, we do a ton of campfires, you know, lots of camping, great food, good beverages, and just hanging out and, you know, enjoying each other's company and talking radio. It's one of those things that, you know, we want to share with you, and you know, we're going to hopefully kind of dive in a little bit here, talk about some of our experiences in the past that we've had for field days, because Todd and I are, you know, we're relatively, we'll say, new in that space. I mean, before I was a COVID ham, you know, I was a no code tech, and that was way back in 93 when I was a high school and teenager. So things have changed quite drastically. But we're gonna talk a little bit about some of our experiences tonight, and maybe share some of the stuff that's going on, because I once again took on the mantle of being, field day coordinator for the fourth year or fifth year. I think it's fourth year, at least for me. For our field day. So, we're going full steam, and would love to share some of the stuff I've done and what we're doing. So, you know, let's kind of talk a little bit about this. So, you know, obviously Todd, we were talking offline a little bit. You were kind of juggling numbers. You think you're possibly going to be able to make it for field day this year, you know?
Yeah. I had field day in my calendar, but, my wife's family, we get together every year, and it's a really great time. We went to Big Bear one year. That was like 2 years ago in California. My brother-in-law and his family lives in California. Their niece and my nephews live in Florida. So we went down to Florida last year, and then my other nephew moved from California to North Carolina. So we're going down to North Carolina, and my niece is going the week after our little vacation is going to Ireland to study for a month. So, they decided that, hey, let's get together field day weekend. And I'm like, no. And they're like, but there's no other time to do it.
Of course.
So
on a 5 month weekend.
I looked on the calendar and it says that we're going like Tuesday through Friday. We have the house rented. So okay. I think we were planning on leaving sometime Sunday. My uncle lives in Maryland, probably stay there for a night. And then that's about 8 hours. And I think we have like another 5 hours after that.
Mm-hmm.
Get down to the place for Tuesday. So I'm not sure how that works out. But if that's the case, then I should definitely be there Friday for setup and part of Saturday, which would be better than what I thought before we started talking, because I thought I was going to miss the whole thing because I thought that was the weekend we were driving down. So
good.
So who knows? But we'll see. This will be my third field day as a general, mm-hmm. where I've been able to activate or been able to participate and work my own station and be by myself. The first year, it was the first year I stopped by, and Eric got me on the radio, and I made a contact to Pennsylvania, and I was like, that's really awesome. And, you know, now it's like Pennsylvania is like local.
I get them all the time when I activate.
Yeah, like what's that? That's just PA, like big deal. But anyway, so I'm hoping to be there at least for a little bit. You know, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I love field day. It's kind of like, you know, I love the portable activation stuff. That's why I like POTA so much. And field day is just like the big grand finale. It's either the start of the POTA season, or it's just like the big event that you do. And it's just a lot of fun. I mean, our club, we get bonfires going, we hang out. It's not all about getting 100,000 points.
We're not a contest club at all.
Yeah, we're not a contest club. I mean, we like to get on the radio and make contacts and see what we can do, but it's more about the companionship and then just having fun with radio and setting stuff up. And we've gotten a lot of visitors that have come by and have done it and learned. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I get to hang out with you guys for a weekend. So
I know, right? Well, it's kind of interesting scenario, because I like you said earlier, I block it off on the calendar, and I start alerting the wife, right around April that's already on the calendar for June. And I usually, by the time May rolls around, I'm already constantly hearing, oh, well, that's Dad's weekend, we can't do anything, he's gone for that whole entire weekend. I'm like, that's correct, I am gone, I am not here. You will have to take care of the animals and feed yourself and entertain yourself and all the other stuff. So leading up to that, I usually rent a camper, because still working on the wife getting one permanently. But, we'll rent one for the weekend, and I'll plop it down there, and I'll set up Friday, when we start to do as a club, getting, the antennas and the station, kind of configured, and all of the typical like utility stuff done. So, when we roll in on Saturday later in the day, per the rules, we can just plop the radio down, do a little tuning, and we're, just kind of sitting around, twiddle our thumbs, hanging out and waiting for the 2 o'clock or, high noon kickoff. So, all that, builds up to that. But I like you said, Todd, I am the one thing I love about our club, and the one thing that, really just makes me happy is that, we do, our efforts in getting out there and making contacts, and we love making contacts, and we love trying to stretch our, both our personal, physical, longevity, and whether or not we can stay up as late as we possibly can after we've already been dragged through being there at like 9 a.m. and then there the Friday night before, using every little bit of energy to make those, midnight 40 meter or, 60 meter contacts or whatever, because the, band conditions have changed. But, I love the campfires. I love hanging out. I love just, hanging out and hanging out with you guys. I mean, that's just, a one weekend that we get to, just do nothing and play radio and not have to worry about anything else. It's kind of like a great comfort, vacation, sort of.
Yeah. And then at the end of it, you're exhausted and you need a couple days off just recover. Yeah. Like after field day, you're just like, I haven't really done much except put all this stuff up, take it all down, and in between, activate.
That is the toughest part. Like I am so blessed to have, like, because I'm obviously, just to kind of a little background, I do a lot of the POTA coordinator. So I'm like kind of the coordinator for our field days in general for the past 4 years. And so I have very much relied on making sure we have station captains. I've been ridiculed up and down the board. Why do we have station captains? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, because it makes my life easier, because they can do the job. They get out there, they know what they need. I just facilitate and kind of make things a little easier. And so, when those guys, Ryan's, you and Paul's and all those guys just do their stuff, get their gear, set up, it makes my field day experience, because I can bounce around and play radio whenever I want and not have to feel like, oh my gosh, I got to set up my own radio station. I got to do all the antennas. And, it just, it makes things much funner.
And what's great about it is, like, now that, we've done it at least the last 2 years of setting up and stuff, like, it's getting easier. Like, we know, like, I know as a station captain what I need to do and what I have to have. And I keep adding to the, like, I put a little note down, like, oh, next year I'm getting this because this will make my life easier. So it's been, it's been, It's been good. And I figured, you know, in like 5 or 10 years from now, like we'll just be like pros at it. It'll be like nothing. We'll be set up and ready to go in like an hour.
Yeah. So that's my goal. I'm hoping, you know, that we all become almost literally proficient where they're dropping three things. And the hardest part is setting up the tent and putting the chairs down versus the radios and the antennas. Yeah. But, you know, I think we're getting there.
Well, it's like, like when we did our summer or the Polo Rove, you and I didn't even talk. And we would set up and take down. We didn't even talk to each other while we were doing it. And we just knew what to do. And yeah. I mean, we were in and out of there so quick. I mean, we were cruising. So that's where I see field day like as a thing where like we don't have to talk to each other. We just everyone does their thing, gets it set up, yes. And then we can sit down and relax.
I'm hoping with all of the efforts and all of the pre-planning and all of the meetings that I have with everybody that literally everybody has their job. And to give credit to Ryan and give credit to Paul and Ira, who's been part of a field day yourself and everybody. It's just been like simple and easy where a lot of people just don't even have to kind of come on Saturday to do much. They show up and they're like, what can I do? And we're like, you can't do anything. We're all done. I mean, we're just literally sitting around hanging out, which is exactly what I like to hear because that means, you know, you're confident, you know, and everyone's confident and we're ready to get on the air and start having a party.
Yeah. I mean, like the first year I did it, like I went to a field day the year before. Mm-hmm. I saw you guys set up an antenna that didn't work.
Oh gosh, that was a story.
Remember that year? I was there like the whole day, and I was like, and I come home, and my wife's like, "So how was it?" And I'm like, "I don't get it. It's like they spent a whole day setting up this huge antenna, and it didn't even work. Mm-hmm. Like I don't understand what the whole like what are they doing?" And then the following year I came, and she goes, "How was it?" I'm like, "It was awesome. I like I get it now." Mm-hmm. I'm like contacts.
So let's talk about that. That was actually, I think, your first introduction to field day. That was my first official field day. Mm-hmm. I was actually coordinator of that. That was run by somebody else in the club. And the funny story with that, and you mentioned that big antenna. And so let's talk about that because I think it was almost comical. The antenna was a homebrew built antenna by one of our club members. Now
they looked like a missile launcher.
It was a two element four square, I think, beam. Basically, it was for all intents and purposes a two element beam on 40. So it was a mono band antenna, and they were hanging it. Yeah, it was only one band, which is why I don't understand why.
Took up the whole field.
They literally put up an army tower mast. I mean, the army tower mast took us 2.5 hours to put up because nobody had the instructions, or the instructions we had were in German because they couldn't read it. So we had to guess. So we put this 40-foot tower up, put this wooden antenna that, you know, it was probably like 20 by 20. It was crazy huge. And it went up, and the person who put it up or the person who built it was like, "Oh yeah, we tested it weeks before." But he didn't test it before he put it up in the air when we were there. So it got up in the air and they hoisted it up and it was tied to the barn pergola and this big army mast. And come to find out, we put the CW station on it and the antenna match that's put up at the very top of the antenna was broken or nobody put it in. So it sat up there as a decoration for the whole entire weekend. And we spent literally almost the whole entire Friday and part of Saturday morning putting the stupid thing up. And it was like,
yeah. Oh. I'm like, these guys are a bunch of losers. They put up this huge antenna that didn't even work. Like, who are these guys?
You know, to their credit, they did test it like 2 weeks before, which is great. But like the day of, like, you know, they obviously didn't put it away carefully so it would be ready for the next, you know, actual field day. And, you know, it was just kind of my first introduction. I was like, okay. And then, you know, we have a club member, Ray, and we'll leave his call sign out. He's a great guy. But he literally packed his caravan. He has a small Dodge caravan. He packed that thing to the gills with stuff, everything you could think of, wires, cables, radios, you know, antennas, and pulls up. And literally, like, one box after a Tupperware box after, like, you know, clear, you know, storage box, he keeps coming out, bringing stuff out. And, I mean, literally, he took almost a day and a half to get set up because he had so much stuff. And, you know, he only knew where it was, so nobody could really help him out setting that stuff up. And so I was just like, there's got to be a better way to do this. I mean, like, I don't know how, like, we could suffer this. I'm tired, and I haven't even started operating yet.
Right. So, no, it was very chaotic. I remember, yeah, it was very chaotic. And like I said, I didn't know what field day was. So for me, I was just like, look at this chaos. It's just crazy. Now, since then, since you've taken over, it's been run really well. It's been very fluid. It's been in control. Everything's organized. Food is good. You know, Tim does the food. We've got the stations. We all are connected with computers, so we know, you know, what band everyone. It was just, it's been a lot. And I don't know, for me, maybe it's because I understand it more, but I really think that it just seems more organized. I mean, we have families coming in, people walking through it. It's a good experience. I think it's definitely gotten better. And I think it's actually, last year, I think was larger than the year before, at least with people that were visiting and checking us out versus, you know, the first couple years I was there. So.
And so we kind of, as a club, do some interesting things that, you know, maybe not a lot of people who do, you know, field days do, whether they're doing it privately or they, those that are going to be watching this video are going to be seeing my son later with the dog in the background. He's been at my ankles trying to, you know, get my attention while I'm doing this recording, but hey, you know, we'll plug on. But, the funny thing with our club, that has done really well is that we started to do this education pavilion thing that ARL's kind of been pushing a little bit, which is like, hey, get out, like get the public involved, bring them in, draw them in. And so I've been trying to push really hard about like, okay, let's do a little aspect of, you know, DMR and digital radios. Let's do, fox hunt, and let's do, you know, a go-to station. So we've done and kind of been adding to that year over year, and it's been really good. Like you said, like we had, I think our first year that we did that, we had a family of 11 all show up, and they were like, it was funny to watch them because they went out and did the fox hunt. And where we are in our barn, in our area in Goffstown, we have a huge barn, and it's like 12, it's a good percentage of acres. I mean, it's a good 10, 12 acres of just grass. And so like the guy who in our club, who's a fox hunt guy, put his transmitter out there somewhere. And you see this group of 11 people kind of all moving like in a small little, like, you know, unit. It's almost like the lemmings going over the cliff, you know, all together while they're all trying to do this fox hunt. And so it was just like, they were like totally stoked. And I mean, that was year, I think Tim had a couple of friends who, you know, did the go to contact and, you know, we're able to make a few contacts at the go station, and it was just, you know, it was good to see. So I'm pretty excited.
It's a cool thing. If you've never seen ham radio and you stumble upon our field day, you're going to get the one, get on the air, and you're going to be able to do some fun things. And it always seems the kids that are there are really interested in it, and they want to touch the knobs and the dials. And oh, yeah. I always let them do it. I go nuts. Like, here you go. Turn that. Let's see what we can get.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and we've got some great things, and I'll kind of give you a little sneak peek. I mean, we ended up having a couple of new guys in the club that want to step up to do the go-to station. So they've graciously decided to take one of our club members, our president's 7300, and so they're going to get to see us SDR waterfall, and they're going to be able to use the hex beam, and they're going to be able to get like all of these great contacts at the go-to station. But this year we're going to be doing a tape measure Yagi. So one of the things we're doing in our club prior to that is just building a few for our own fox hunting, but we're going to do fox hunts there. So we're going to get the kids to be able to kind of build the little kit there and do a quick solder. And hopefully that'll, you know, get them encouraged to want to get out and, you know, take their own antennas with a couple of loner HTs that we have in the club to be able to, you know, do a fox hunt and enjoy some of that stuff. And I got a bunch of guys and gals that all want to do like different aspects of like, hey, someone, I think, a couple of members of our club are going to do a couple of present demos of like DMR and All-Star and that type of stuff, as well as, you know, HTs. And Ralph has graciously decided to bring his whole Quan Chang. Yes, Ralph, you are the Quan Chang guy, to the field day. So he'll be able to show all those off.
Did he rent a U-Haul for him? He's probably going to need one.
He might, but, you know, in essence, and actually, I keep forgetting, one of those shirts that I kind of came up with one of our club members was, I speak fluent, and then ... on the back is going to be Quan Chang, Bao Fang, and TID. We're going to give it to Ralph once we make it.
He has anytime there's a little change in any of those radios, like anything under $30, he's got them.
Yep. Yeah. And he's the man of knowing everything about a Quan Chang or any of those radios. And, you know, he is the, if you are ever in the New England area and you bump into KC1 TLY, He is the guy to know the difference between every Quanchang radio, and he is a wealth of knowledge. And we thank him for, you know, taking up that mantle, because you know, we all give him gruff from sometime in the club, but in essence, we appreciate you know, him doing that for us for sure.
No, he's a good guy, and he's on a lot of repeaters. So if you're up here, you'll probably talk to him.
Yeah, he's got a nice spot. He's a what, 1700 ASL from you know, most people, and he can hit like a repeater halfway down in Nantucket, you know, with, you know, less than a, you know, a watt. So yeah. it's pretty intense.
He's everywhere. Oh, which, yeah, is cool, because when I'm driving around traveling New Hampshire or New England, it's, you can always find him somewhere at some repeater. Always find him. Yeah.
So cool. All right. Well, so, you know, from a standpoint of you know, field day, what kind of aspects, like, you obviously alluded to a little bit of them, but like, were there anything, you know, one specific area that you kind of like over another that we do, or that you've been involved in, or you've had some experience with?
You know, I like, I just like getting on the radio. I love just operating the radio, and I like to get my own frequency and get the pile ups, and I just like to work it. Like that 2 years ago, we're hanging out at the fireplace, and, you know, no one was at my station at the time. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go work the radio for a little bit. Like, all right, we'll see you in a bit. So I go in there, and I got into pileups, and I was like in the zone. Right. And yeah, all of a sudden I look at my wall. I'm like, wow, it's like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, wow, I better go get some sleep. I walk out, and I was like, everyone's gone. Nope. Like, it was dead pitch black. There wasn't even moon out. I'm like, where did everyone go? I sneak into Eric's trailer. His dad's in there snoring. I'm like, is there even a place for me to crash here? But I'm like, where did everyone go? And then the next morning, you're like, dude, you've got like the most contacts in the club. Like, you got to, like, you got to get like three more, and you'll, what was it, like 100, yeah, or something?
You had the biggest run rate at that time, I think, for most of us.
But and a lot, it was all in the middle of the night.
It was, yeah. And so that's actually a good tip. I mean, in essence, if you go to operate in your club and you want to operate without any interruption, that is the best seat, yeah, time that you can get, is in the evening hours when nobody else is around.
Or, yeah, everyone's tired, asleep, and there's crazy people like me out there that are working it, so. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. But then you said I had to get like 3 or 4 more, and I jumped over to Ryan's tent, and it took me like 3 hours to get like the last 4 contacts. I'm like, come on.
You went from Yezu to ICOM, so I totally understand.
I know, I had all kinds of problems. I'm like, I couldn't make a contact the life of me.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, one of the things we did integrate this year that, you know, obviously was the reason why we knew Todd's run rate and what was going on, is that was, I think, the first year we implemented Kyle Alpha Alpha Zero Z's N1MM you know, field day dashboard in Node Red. And that was just like kind of the impetus for me, because like once we had that set up, I can't tell you how many people would be like, what is, like, they come up to like that station, and we had a big monitor set up, and they were able to, you know, see it all in like a, you know, a 40-inch TV. And they were like, are they making contacts? Because if you've ever seen Kyle's Node Red dashboard, it like tracks real time from all the N1MM contacts that are being made during field day, in maps all those out. So you see like all these like shooting, you know, runs from one location to another. And, you know, you see all these run rates and who's like the best, you know, in terms of the club, in terms of making the most contacts in the short amount of time, and what the most popular band are. So it's pretty cool in the sense of making a gamification. So I think that kind of just like made things that much better. And so we'll be doing it again this year. It's guaranteed. I got that all set up. So I'm looking forward to, you know, having that integrated into the box. So yeah. I think that makes field day, you know, that much better, because it attracts people, but at the same time, you know, builds a little bit of like, you know, a little fair competition between one another, even though we're, you know, not laying money down.
Well, yeah, because our president was like, oh, I got the most contacts, and I wasn't even going for it. But then when Eric said, you got the most contacts, like by a lot, like you need to, I'm like, really? I could give Bill some crap for the rest of the year. Like, oh yeah, I thought you were the king of contacts.
Well, he was the first year, and I think, yeah, that was a good night. But, you know, after that, you know, the throne was knocked clear, and yeah, you kind of slid right in.
And then last year, I had no luck at all.
Oh, yeah, oh, that was a tough one. So you got to talk about that one. We alluded to it.
So last year, I got, you know, my own. I'm the captain, or station captain. I bought this kick-ass kind of tent that got sides, it's got vents, because the first year I was in like a tent and I was dying. I'm like, I need ventilation, right? So I'm all set, I'm going and I'm making contact, I'm hearing people, and I can't make a contact for the life of me. And I'm like, why aren't these people responding to me? I'm calling, nothing. Well, how many did I make? Like five total contacts. But I had blown my finals on my radio.
Not knowing it.
So I'm operating with no finals, and couldn't understand why I couldn't get anyone. And we didn't know, so we swapped out the radios, and Ryan gave us his ICOM, and he's like, oh, ICOM to the rescue. And then things obviously got better. Yeah. I sent it back to Yaesu, and yep, my finals, but they covered it. It was under warranty, and I got it back within like less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, but I was like, you got to be kidding me, right?
That was tough.
But
that
I made five hard. Contacts. That should be something, right?
Nevertheless, like the day you showed up, you'd already had like so much baseball at that point. By the time you said the station captain, you were like, you set up the tent and you called me in the panic. You were like, dude, I don't have a tent. The damn thing's broken. Like,
oh, it's no, it was inside out. So I bought it on Amazon, when I got it, it looked like it was like it was just, it looked like someone had taken it apart or whatever. So we take it out and the thing's inside out. But it's like a pop-up tent. Like, it just pops up and it's not like...
Yeah, freestanding.
And I'm like, it's inside out. And we all of us can do it. Well, Paul decided that, you know, he's the Marine and he could fix anything. Looks at it and he goes, it's inside out. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, that's not good. And he goes, well, let's just twist it around. And I'm like, it ain't gonna... We had the whole thing right except one piece. And he somehow twisted it and popped it back and we got it up and going. So it was well worth, I mean, it was, I'm just glad it was open. Cause I was so pissed. I'm like, I'm sending this back with a note. Like, why did you send me no wonder they returned it. It was built inside out. But yeah, so we got that up. And that's one thing I learned is make sure before you buy crap from Amazon, take it out and put it together first before you show up the field day. But it was a last minute buy, you know, I didn't have a tent. So
scrambled to get it all doing. Yeah, we all have run that, you know, hey, I'm going to do early prep. And I think that's kind of why, like, when I am as a coordinator, I push a very much early on. Like, I start kind of putting the feelers out like late April. And then when May starts, I'm already like in our club meeting saying, hey, we're talking about field day. We're having a station captain's meeting. I'm already talking with, you know, organizing our station captain. So by the time June rolls around, that's already been ironed out. And, you know, it's just a matter of like, oh, are you missing a chair or are you missing a tent? You know, what do you need? Like, kind of things. And that's how I think a lot of a club can be very helpful, because you can always put an APB out and say, hey, we need 5 extension cords, put your name on them and bring them to field day. And lo and behold, you know, they'll show up at your door. Or I need, like, I remember one year I'm like, I need 2 painter's poles. And I got 2 people in 2 minutes, and then 5 others like, oh, I'll just drop it off. I'm like, so we had like 5 extra, like, you know, painter's poles 1 year, just leaning up against a building, not knowing what we're going to do with them. And, you know, I'm just like, so it's good, because there are club members. And if you are going with the club, you'll find that, you know, doing that, if you're either part of the, you know, the planning team or you're, you know, a station captain this year, is that you don't always have to have everything and you don't have to spend a lot, because more likely there's 5 other club members that might have that stuff that they'd be willing to loan out. And we all know hams love to do that stuff. So, you know, take advantage of that if you're going to be a station captain this year and try your hand at that, because it's a lot of work. No doubt.
Well, like I said, it's a learning experience, but you know, even with the finals going out and having the switch radio, I did get on the radio, but then I had other problems. I couldn't get into pileups, and I keep trying and trying, and then your lovely daughter, let me give it a shot. one
the female touch.
The one time, and then all of a sudden, freaking boom. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I've been at this for 40 minutes. You make one call out and she nailed it. I'm like, oh.
You didn't know the secret that ICOM traditionally, people who own ICOM have high pitched female voices anyway. So that's why, you know, she just stepped up to the mic. So, you know, all of the Pauls, the Ryans, there's a dig there. So, you know, you have to figure that one out. So, you know, all's fair.
That was pretty good because I thought that I was like, I can't believe it. I said, I've been trying to work this guy for 40 minutes and, you know, she comes in, makes one call out and boom. So clearly the guy heard me. He was like, yeah, I'm not calling that guy.
But, you know, to the other side of the coin, I should, you know, back up. Her first year that she kind of came to field day to kind of hang out with dad, myself, it was, you know, she sat down at one of the stations that we helped set up and she couldn't make a single contact whatsoever. And she's like, Dad, I thought you kept telling me, everyone kept telling me that a female voice would be easy. You know, we'd be able to make contacts and you'd be like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm not lying. It's very true. It happens. And she got no contacts whatsoever. And so I think that was her redeeming, you know, point in making sure that she happened. And so I think she'll actually be back this year too. So, you know, if anything,
her and her friend, they said they had a blast the last time they were there.
Yeah. And they are, if you ever want to see them in action, I've got a video on my channel that we did a live fox hunt where they were the live foxes, which is always a blast to have them involved. But, they also, both of them come to field day. My daughter is licensed, so she's hoping to get her friend involved and we'll see one day if that ever happens. But, you know, all fair, you know, it's good to see, you know, young people and playing radio and, you know, that's all we can wish for. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's the ham radio weekend. You know, that's the day that it's kind of like our Christmas for ham radio. It's like, that's when everyone gets out there and everyone's on the air. I mean, during the day, trying to find an open frequency is tough. Like if you get one, you better stay on it because you're never going to get it back.
It's worse than worldwide, you know, WPX contest. I mean, literally, you know, US bands are like, you know, flooded. And even when 10 meters could be totally dead and 10 meters will still be flooded with a bunch of contacts because it's just like people just get on the air and start, you know, cranking up the amps and, you know, putting 100 watts out there and making sure that they're, you know, making themselves heard for sure.
Yeah. No, yeah. So it's good. But yeah, those are my two big major stories of my field day experiences. And like I said, I hope to make many more throughout the years. But
so you were in the process. I mean, obviously we had talked away a couple of months back. You were obviously working on your go kit in your bag and stuff like that. I mean, anything that you kind of gleaned from when you ran your first station captain that, you know, if someone say, you know, is a listener in our podcast that's thinking about being a station captain or wants to kind of get down that road, you know, any, you know, recommendations or suggestions you could offer somebody?
Yeah, I mean, bring a fan, multiple fans, because it gets hot.
Oh yeah.
You know, if it's a hot day and you're inside, even if you're in a tent that has ventilation, like the first year I was in your like family of eight tent and it was like a sauna in there.
It was.
But a fan, extra chairs so people can come in and hang out. And my octagon kind of thing is kind of big. So it can hold a bunch of people. So, you know, I bring some extra chairs, some a good table to do it. And then just make sure you got your battery or whatever you're using for your power source. And, you know, if you have your solar panels, but, you know, keep it simple. You don't need too much, but you need enough to make sure you've got enough, you know, power. And like I put a light. I have this little, it looks like a light bulb, but it hangs in the center.
Oh, I like that a lot. That right? was great.
And then you just turn it on, and at least because if you don't, it's pitch black. And like I said, I've had some experiences in ham radio, like when I did my first night activation at Silver Lake, and I'm in the zone. I'm getting this is my first pile up, and you guys are texting me saying, "Keep going, you're doing great. Keep going, keep going." And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I've been there for like 3 hours, and I look up, and it's pitch black. Mm-hmm. And all I had was my phone and it was running out of batteries. Like I had to go take the antenna down. Like I couldn't see anything. So flashlight or some kind of a light
headlamp,
just make it easier, you know, just to see. It doesn't have to be super bright, but at least that you have some, you know, especially if you're jotting something down or you need to do something. So, but yeah. And like I said, just make it comfortable and, you know, make it, I bring, splitters. So you can have the two headphones on. So people
You know, kind of funny you say that because like, I don't think a lot of like, we pushed hard 1 year. I remember doing that. Everyone had to kind of bring your own headset. And 9 times out of 10, I just was like, I was getting so sticky with my ears. I was like, it's just easier to just, you know, if you're, you know, solo or maybe with somebody else, you know, just turn the volume up. I mean, it can't hurt any much. And, you know, from 9 times out of 10,
If people were there, you know, I'd just do it with the hand mic.
Yeah.
And the speaker on the radio. If I was alone and like at night or whatever, I like having the headset on and the boom mic and the foot pedal and you know, that's just how I do it in the shack and it's just what I'm used to doing. But again, when I do POTA, I don't do that. I do have headphones for POTA. I haven't used them yet, but I should probably try them out and make sure they work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're a lot like me. When you go out and activate, you're alone anyway. So 9 times out of 10, you want to be able to hear the stuff around you because you, God forbid, someone comes and stab you in the back or something.
Well, right. Well, that's what I mean. Like, when you have the headphones on, you get into that zone. Like, you're not hearing. You can focus, right? So
Yeah.
So well, my POTA headphones is like it's got one ear and one ear open, so I could hear both.
So that worked out good.
Because sometimes, I mean, at least in POTA, like. You know, if like I did that one in Boston and the train kept going by and it was like literally like the track was there and it like every 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, Jesus, here it comes. Then planes are taking off. I'm like, this is the crappiest park ever. Like planes taking off, trains going by. I wish I had a headset then.
I know that would make total sense in that scenario. So, yeah, I think you touched on one and I drill like as a coordinator, I drill home. Comfort, like I mean, people are tired of hearing me hear say the word comfort. And you know, when I do my POTA presentations, the same way, it's like I'm all about comfort. I'm like all about the idea of, you know, you're going to be sitting in this freaking chair for probably 3 hours on average, if you're lucky, probably if not more. Be comfortable. You know, have a cooler. I mean, the one thing I make sure all my station captains do is like they have a cooler full of stuff. Like so, it's always in arm's reach versus like. You know, yelling in the middle of your, you know, run of like, hey, can someone grab me a water? Because I can't like, you know, talk any longer, you know, kind of thing. And, you know,
yeah, so. you definitely want to stay hydrated. And, you know, and even have like snacks, like if you get hungry, if you're doing the late night stuff, you know, just to keep your energy and, you know, you don't want to get dehydrated. But yeah, I mean, I bring, you know, a table and then I have like an operating chair, but then, you know, if it's getting really late, you know, I throw the laptop on my lap and I sit down in my little rocker chair and
recline
back. And, you know, if you're just trying to make contacts, I mean, it's not too hard. I mean,
it works.
So, I mean, but again, it's whatever your preference is, but have multiple options for, you know, if you have headphones, don't forget the hand mic in case you get a crowd of people that want to try it and you want people to hear. Or if someone doesn't have their headphones, I normally bring my foot switch, but I also have a hand switch too that I can use. It's like it looks like a trigger. It's like a button on the top. I don't know what to call it.
No, yeah, it's basically a finger switch. And so I think those are better a lot of times versus the foot switch because you're outdoors and you're smashing it in the grass or trying to have a piece of wood that, you know, you can't hold.
So still. I think I use that one more than the foot switch. Mm-hmm. I bring both of them, but I think on field day I use that more.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I think I remember using it more myself just because it's just easier to, you know, do that and then type with one finger on the keyboard if you're, you know, logging for yourself and stuff like that. But yeah, all good things for sure. I mean, in essence, I think, you know, the biggest things are obviously, you know, making sure you're comfortable and, you know, those that are working with you. And don't forget the biggest thing, like drag a new ham in who's like, afraid to get on the air, but wouldn't mind logging the, you know, at the laptop. So, you know, I did that to Todd. I mean, Todd will share some of his stories with that, but that's the whole ordeal. Is like, if you get somebody involved with the logging aspect, they can hear and develop the ear of like, what did you hear? Did you hear that? And, you know, you can kind of do this two-way conversation while you're trying to work the contact and people will start to see you do the, you know, the whole script process. And we do as a club too, as well. As kind of the coordinator, I provide a whole bunch of laminated pieces of you know, critical, you know, things like the whole section rack information that ARL puts out, so you know what state the band map, which really in most cases doesn't matter because the radio kind of controls that. But in essence, you know, anybody who's going to be at the radio is going to know the bands pretty well. And we're already, you know, most of the clubs today when they're using their club calls are going to be extras anyway. So you won't have to worry about, you know, being in one portion or another. Yeah. Well, even then, you're running a club call, so you run an extra either way. And then, you know, you have
still a general.
It's still a general. It's in his title there. So anyway, all of that, you know, those things that your coordinator, the guy, the person in charge of kind of putting field together, should have for you just to make the things easier. And the script is a big thing too. Yeah. I always make sure that a script is there and available.
It's really nice to have that. I found that when I was doing that late night thing, like your brain starts to get a little like disconnected from yourself, and you forget what you're even saying. It's always nice to look and re-educate. You're like, oh yeah, I got to say that. What's that call sign I've been saying for the last 10 hours? Like, what is it again?
Queer? What? I don't know. Whatever. Crazy? What?
Yeah. No. Those things are great. I mean, and again, someone, you know, if someone's new or hasn't done it, it's always a good reference. Like, I love those kind of cheat sheets. I mean, I still use them. I still use the band charts, even though I pretty much have them memorized. I still have it out when I do POTA just to be on the safe side. You know, just to reassure that I'm not jumping into the
3,000 kilohertz, 3 kilohertz down from 350. Exactly. So,
It worked, you know, it's all good. And and bug spray, definitely bring by. I would recommend those Duracell little capsule. Do you have one? Yep. Yes. Get that.
If I could push this under like a
spend the money, the $30, and buy the cartridge and stick it in there and turn it on, and you will thank me.
Oh, yes.
And you'll thank Duracell, because that thing.
Recharge.
That thing will get rid of bugs like to no end. And I tell you, when I was doing that Silver Lake, that first night Activision, I had that thing sitting on the table and I wasn't bothered by a bug. Mm-hmm. Now, when I ended and it was pitch black and I went to walk over to the antenna, I got swarmed by like the mosquitoes of death. I was like, what? And I literally carried that thing with me. These things are biting me as I'm walking out. I'm like,
I'm literally thinking about 3D printing like a belt clip harness that you could put on your side of your hip just to carry with you.
Yeah, wear it around your neck like a wrapper chains. The thing is, they're awesome. I mean, they really are, and they work and they keep the bugs away. And there's nothing worse than having, and the bugs are going to get into your shelter, into your tent. I mean, they're just going to be there. Yeah. So, you know, maybe it's not as bad, but I mean, we were sitting by the fire and I brought mine out there and I sat it down next to the thing, and it keeps them away. And if you get a couple of, if everyone has one, there won't be any bugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I mean, in essence, it gives you the comfort to be able to operate and not have to constantly go five seconds. Yeah. So
the next time that we have an eclipse, make sure you have one going, because Eric and I were operating during the eclipse, all of a sudden like the mosquitoes came, like, where are these bugs
coming from? It's weird. So bizarre.
Right? That was crazy.
Ever that would happen. So, you know, we'll have to note that next eclipse whenever that happens. So a couple of things. So let's kind of talk, just kind of wrap a little bow on this a little bit. So obviously, if you're not doing this with a club and you're going to go out and operate for field day, totally okay. You know, there are many classes and many ways to do this. The one thing that it seems to be very popular, at least the past couple of years, has been going out to a POTA park and then also operating field day as well. So you get kind of the dual credit. So if you're thinking about doing that, put it on your checklist in your to-do list, your bucket list, because it's definitely one of those things that you'll be able to, you know, rack up a boatload of contacts for your POTA park that you might even be able to get your kilo, depending on how long you spend there in general, just in general, being able to activate outdoors.
So what would you be, like CQ Parks on the Air field day?
Yeah, it'd be CQ field. So basically, when people picked you up or whatever, when you're doing your park, you obviously want to get the park credit. And now it's even more simpler, because now you don't really even have to tell your park number most of the times, because the database will pick it up. So when people submit the logs, it automatically does it for you. So you don't really even have to provide your park reference information. So a lot of times you can just call CQ and people will pick you up.
Maybe I'll get Alaska and Hawaii on field day.
Dude, you might. I mean, if you do, you get a
to you.
I'm gonna, that's gonna be my goal. I'm gonna be searching that website and be like, yep, I'm going to that station. Who's got the 10 meter band?
I think I'm ever gonna be able to get Alaska is if I literally, you know, take a vacation out to the, you know, a little bit west of the Mississippi to be able to set up an antenna to, you know, have
I keep getting the alerts and I hear everyone else working them, but I can't hear them for
I'm almost at the point of like, you know, hey, I'm going to spend a couple of minutes paying for those remote stations on the California side just so I can make a contact with them and get them off my list. So, well,
you know, I'm wondering when I put up the DX command,
I might be,
because like I said, when I do POTA, I get Alaska all the time on my vertical, all the time. Like in Nashua, when we do the rail trail, I've gotten North Pole Alaska like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
And that's like in the middle of Alaska. Like it's like dead smack, center. Yeah. Right. And I'm like, that's the only town, like probably within like a couple hundred miles. So I figured if you're getting that, if I can get that, they're just never at a park. I'm like, isn't there a park you can run to and make a contact?
Thank you. Well, so, you know, I know Jeremy watching his KL7EC's videos. He had done a POTA. He did a dual POTA and a field day 1 year. So it's very possible that he might be doing it again. We'll see if, you know, he takes that on, you know, again this year. But, yeah, I tried the same thing, and you know, I failed miserably and cannot make, you know, it can't hear him at all.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like I can't hear. I hear everyone else talking to him. I just can't.
Yep.
And you know, I've tried. I have it on my phone, and you know what I'll do is, you know, because I have the Flex, I can just check and go on and see if I can hear him. And if I can hear him, then I can either work him from, you know, my phone, or I can run down to the shack and, you know,
hail to the Flex.
But I heard him once and I ran down the shack and then it was gone. Yeah. And I should have just sat there on my phone and done it, because I probably would have gotten him.
Could have, man. Dude, you would have saved yourself some time. No. Cool. All right. So how can we kind of wrap this up a little bit? So, I mean, obviously field day, but let's kind of talk about two different ways. So, you know, obviously say, you know, from a new beginner, what would we give for suggestions or, you know, recommendation for someone who just got their ticket, just starting to hear about field day, you know, what bit of advice would you give?
Go to a field day event, a club, anyone that's doing it. Most clubs will have stations that you can possibly, like our club, we don't do like signups or anything. So it's like, you can just go in there. Like if I'm working a station and you are have an hour, you know, go ahead. I'll give it up for you and go nuts. But I know other clubs, they have signups and stuff, but figure out where you're going to go and get on the air and just have fun. And if you've never done it before, just go down with someone who has, and, you know, just enjoy yourself and make some contacts, and you help your club, and you'll have a lot of fun. And like I said, there's nothing like making your first
contact to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, right? But like your first contact HF, and you're not like in, you know, line of sight. It's kind of exciting, you know. Yep. And like, look at when I last summer when I was working Australia, I was excited. Like that to me is like, that is awesome. I'm like, that's 10,500 miles away, and I'm having a conversation with a guy who's in winter and I'm in summer.
I know. You know, mind blowing.
Right. I mean, it's just cool. And you know, I remember the first time I hit Europe, and I was like, wow, I'm like, I'm literally talking to a guy over the radio to Europe. So, I mean, people who have never experienced it, it's good. And even if you get in just local states, you know, around it, it's still cool to make the contacts and get in the logbook, and you'll just have a blast. It's a lot of fun.
Yep. And I would say, you know, if you're a technician and you're just coming to your first field day, don't be afraid to just kind of jump in with someone that might be a little bit more seasoned, because a lot of times, a lot of these stations will have somebody who is pretty, you know, we'll call as the leader of the station, and that may be a station captain or not, but in essence, it might be someone who's pretty well seasoned. If a club's done its job in putting together all those reference materials we talked about earlier, you should be able to just sit down, kind of follow that script, and then follow whatever this person's doing. And 9 times out of 10, if they ask you, just say yes, just go do it. Like, just take the microphone, try it out, and you will surprise yourself that you will probably stumble over every freaking word. You'll probably screw up the, you know, the section and the, you know, the rack information. But, you know, after it's all done, you'll be like, holy crap, I just made a contact with somebody wherever. And, you know, you fill in the blank. But you will forever remember that, like that Todd says. And you'll probably more than likely just keep coming back for more. I mean, that's, you know, that's why.
It's what, hap- It's what happened to me. And let me, I mean, I'm surprised Eric's still my friend after I got my general. We did our first POTA activation. It was a nightmare. And I'm like, I suck at this. Like, I can't do this. Like, what did I just do?
Because you weren't around for my first one, so you have no idea. And I don't talk about it.
But, you know, it's like you'll see guys out there that have been like hams for like decades and decades, but they don't really operate that much. And then you get like guys like me who I know nothing about radio, really. I mean, I'm learning a little bit here and there, but like I like to operate and I like to do the field stuff. And I can work pileups, and no one really taught me. It was like trial and error. It's like you just get into it and you learn. And once you get rid of that mic fright, is what they call it. They call it what, mic fright.
Yeah, that's what we did. Yeah.
Then it's you know, then it just becomes second. It's like muscle memory. It's like riding a bike. You just get on there and you do it, and you'll flub up some things, and everyone's cool, and they're all, you know. I've never had anyone like really rude to me on the air. I know there's some guys out there, and I know there's some YouTube videos and stuff, but even when I'm having a hard time hearing someone and they're being patient and I'm asking them over and over, can you please give me the suffix? I can't get the suffix.
Yeah.
But then I always thank them for their patience, and I'm glad we were able to make the contact. And that's what it's all about. It's about communicating. And if communication was always so easy, you know, it wouldn't make it fun. So I look at it when the bands are tough or you're having trouble and you're really trying to get a contact with a lot of noise, and you can filter out the noise and actually make the contact. That's like a great skill to have, because now you're able to pick up a weak signal. Right. And I've been doing this last couple months, maybe a month or two, I've noticed like when I'm doing the POTAs, it's been a lot more difficult. It hasn't been as clear. There's a lot of noise, some static. The bands aren't where they need to be. But I kind of get a really good appreciation for QRP, because I'm imagining QRP is like that a lot, you know, even when the bands are good. So right. It gives me a little respect for those guys that like to push through the 5 watts or less, and
more so. But when you answer one that sounds like it's a 5.9 and sitting freaking next to you and running 5 watts, you're more blown away every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So it, like I said, it's you just got to go out there and do it. And, yeah. You know, if you're a little afraid, like you don't know if you want to do it, then ask, hey, do you want to log? Like when people say, hey, can I log for you? I'm like, please do. Like, let's do this. Like then I can just focus on the radio. Right. Yeah. But you might hear them, see how they do it. You know, you get used to the sound, you're hearing the responses you're getting from the other end. And then if you screw it up, I mean, it's not like you're going to jail. It's like, yeah, you screwed up. Big deal.
You can laugh at again, move on, man. Laugh on and move on again.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, and so, all right. So that's definitely great advice for a new ham, or you know, kind of a relatively new ham. What would you give for advice for someone who's been, you know, doing this for 20 plus years?
Be patient with the newbies, right? We got to keep this hobby going. So if there's a young kid that wants to get on, be patient.
Yeah, 30-year-old.
Yeah, adult too. But you know, the more people we get into the hobby, the better it is for the hobby, right? The more people we have on the air, the better it is for all of us, because it'll be more people for us to contact. But, you know, be patient. Try to remember when you first started and how you might have felt as a new ham learning or getting on the air for the first time. And just make it fun for everyone. That's basically what I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would throw one caveat in there is like, In the patience process, don't worry about the nomenclature or the details a lot. If they miss something or they don't always pass it, I guarantee 9 times out of 10 the other receiving station's going to go, hey, can I have, or can you fill in, or can I get your section? And 9 times out of 10, what will happen is that someone will be like, what are they asking for? And you'd be like, oh, that's where you can jump in. Don't try to always feed or spoon feed them every single step, because it's not going to stick in their mind. It's not going to make them feel like they're part of the process and doing it themselves. Like just kind of, you know, show a script or write it down if you don't have a script, you know, a little bit, to give them some of, you know, something to hold on to as a safety blanket. But, you know,
and there's no wrong or right way to do it. Like everyone has different styles. Everyone, you know, it's getting the main things out there and the information that you need, but there's no right or wrong way. You know, some people, you know, repeat the call sign every time. you know, their call sign, everything. Some people don't, you know, and if you don't, if you need something you don't have, just ask, because they're not going to bite you. They're going to make sure that you've got them clearly in your contact, especially the call sign. Like if you think you might've messed up the call, even I will sometimes, if I get a call sign, I'm almost sure, but maybe I'm not, I'll ask them and say, hey, just to be sure, your call sign is blah, 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 like N1JUR. And then, no, it was, you know, you missed, you know, one letter, because you want to get the logs, you know, accurate, because then they don't get the contact either. So yep. It's always good that way. And then
the one thing I would throw on that was that don't take the mic away from them to give the person on the other end the information. Yeah. Feed the information to the person who has the mic. Don't let them give up that mic.
Yeah, yeah. You let them finish that contact. That's their contact, and do it. And, you know, an example of like, I give just a quick story about how to, how using the radio and kind of being creative about it. So I was in New York, my last POTA activation, and I'm working this guy, and it's a park to park, and he has no internet access. So he asked me to spot him. I said, okay, well, what frequency? He goes, oh, I don't know yet. I'll get back to you, but I'm in a pile up. So I set it up and I get it all going and I'm waiting and, you know, I'm going through and doing my things. And all of a sudden I hear park to park again. I go, I heard a park to park out there. Well, that was him. He goes, hey, Todd, I'm at frequency. I'm like, oh, good way to get me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so he was kind of like, you know, that's how he got. Because, you know, when you do POTAs and you get a park to park, you want to get those, you know, they're kind of more appealing than a regular contact. So, but that's how he got me back. He just said park to park, and then it was him again. And I was like, oh, I thought I had another one, but it was good to get him spotted and him going. So it was cool. It was kind of funny.
That's awesome. Yeah, and that's actually a perfect example. Like, you know, don't as being the older elder ham, don't try to take control back of the situation. Just, you know, let it play out. Make it a joke if it, you know, kind of feels too tense. You know, let some of the pressure out of the, you know, the situation. So they don't feel like they're going to walk away and never want to, you know, make a contact again. But, you know, at the same time, you know, make it interesting, because, you know, they are going to, you know, depending on what happens in the conditions, they may find that, you know, all of a sudden they've got their own little pileup going on themselves, and, you know, you can guide them through that and, you know, calm them down, because my gosh, it's going to be crazy for them to be like, I don't understand, what call do I pick? You know, and kind of like, well, what did you hear? You know, you don't have to like respond immediately. You can take a second and breathe, you know?
Well, when I was doing that night shift, I had you, Bill, I think Ryan, everyone's texting me. And I couldn't, I'm trying to do the pileup, and I'm looking at my phone. And I get another text like, you're doing great. Keep going. But it was like I had a cheerleading squad, like, keep going. You're crew.
And we knew you had it under control.
Yeah. But that was, I tell you, that was, I think that activation was the thing that really just kicked me in and said, this is my thing. Because that was, like I was just in another world, and I didn't even realize that the sun was gone, because I was just so focused on that radio and my iPad and logging and making these contacts. And it was one of my favorite experiences as a ham radio operator. It was a lot of fun.
Well, that I would say the kind of the last caveat to that, especially on a field day side, is try not to give the new, you know, the new ham or the new person experiencing field day for the first time both logging and the mic. Give them one. Don't like, you know, don't like say, hey, here as well, and then walk away, or, you know, kind of sit back and say, haha, let the hell all break loose. You know, take some of the responsibility. That way, when you're hearing a call, you can say, oh, to them, when they're like, I didn't hear that call, you could say, oh, that was N1JUR. That's what I heard. And, you know, have them repeat it back and, you know, kind of give them that.
Yeah.
You know,
And I talk through it, like, so as if I'm working and they're observing me, I tell them what I'm doing, and I'll stop and explain to them, you know, what's going on. So, and then I say, so you want to give it a shot? And they're like, no. And then I just hand them the mic. They go, well, you got to try it anyway. Like,
drop the mic.
Here we go.
I've done that to several people, yourself included. And, you know, it was like, I remember even doing it to Zach too. It's like, Zach was like so nervous of the whole process. And once he got on, it was just like, oh my gosh, like the whole like level just kind of like, you know, just got back to normal. And he's like, oh, this is great. You know, you made a couple more contacts after that. And, you know, well, you know, one day we'll make him into a ham.
Yeah. You know, I think it's in him. I just think right now he's more into his baseball and his Fortnite and his friends, and that he could be bothered by talking to old men like us.
Well, Well, once he gets his car, you know, he'll have to have a radio in it. So, you know, he'll have to get his buddies to get a radio. It's the same thing we used to do when, you know, we had CB radio. So.
We get all his friends to be technicians and clogging up our repeater.
We have to be the non-codgy complaining, you know,
get off our repeater. You're making it a mess. You know, you're not IDing. And, you know,
just basically say, hey, guys, keep going. So. All right, cool. Well, that it sounds like a good place here to wrap up because I'm sure we could go into a ton of stuff. But like we alluded to, you know, get out, try field day. If you've never been to a field day, this is the first you're hearing of it. Find a local club. ARRL has a great club locator. I know our club is posted in it, but if you go up to ARRL.org / I think field day locator or something to that effect, you can find it up on their webpage. And we'll put it in the link in the description below so you can use that too as well. And find yourself, you know, a local club. It doesn't have to be one you're joining. They are expecting new people to come by and stop by. They most clubs should be welcoming. If they aren't, let me know. I will personally come over there and kick their butts because, you know, they should be. This is our day to be able to kind of make ham radio shine. And if they're all grumpy and they put themselves on the ARRL locator page, I'm going to have a few words with them myself. So, and a bunch of YouTubers will have, I'm sure, the same problems with them too as well. But all that being said...
And one last thing, it doesn't have to be a whole, like, you don't have to go there all day, all night, like we're talking about. Go for an hour. You know, stop by, see what you like. If it's, you know, just hang out for a little bit. There's normally, like, around lunchtime, it's probably food. You know, there's different things going on, different stations. People teach you about the antennas, whatever. But just go there and have fun and, you know, and take advantage of what you might be able to do, because it might jump you into the hobby. It might motivate you if you're a technician to get your motivated me to get my general ticket. Yep. Because
no technician license at all, get your technician.
Yeah. It's just a start. So.
Yeah. And so we didn't allude to, and I forgot to mention at the very beginning, field day is always the fourth full weekend of June every year. It doesn't change. It's always been the 21st, 22nd. And so the way field day always starts is at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, at least for us. I can't remember what it is, UTC. You'll have to do the maths for me. But in essence, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it starts and then runs for a full 24 hours. And you can attend any time during that period. And a lot of clubs will probably have some of that stuff posted, and it'll be available. So check your local areas. In your local clubs for that stuff. And, go to the ones that, are obviously putting their, we'll say skin in the game and getting themselves out there, because those are probably going to be the ones that are going to be the best experiences. And the guys that, want to see new people showing up there and want to welcome you into the hobby. And, you can steer clear of some of the ones that might be like more private or, more like kind of, specific in, a contest nature or whatever, because there are a few and everybody's welcome to play whatever they want in field day. As long as they just play by the field day rules. So, cool. All right. Well, with that, let's kind of wrap things up here and put the bow on it. So, as always, we like to say thanks again for joining for Live Free and Ham podcast community. Remember, if you haven't subscribed, we're always going to ask the question, what you've been doing. And, I am so slow on the thing here and I won't even bother. Anyway, so the idea is that, head over to our YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe there, go over to our website at livefreeandham.com, subscribe there. So you catch all of our past podcast episodes. And like Todd mentioned, in terms of you got mic fright, we've got a great episode. I think it was episode 35 that we talked about, a couple of tips and tricks on how you can, overcome some of the mic fright. And that was very useful for me, and I'm sure for a few others out there. And as always, you can always connect with our show in a couple different ways. You can head to our shop online at livefreeandham.com/shop, pick up some merch. As we said in the past, if we ever catch you wearing it, or you send us pictures, we will definitely make sure we bring your attention to it in our next episodes, in our live streams. And so if you're an Apple Podcast user, you can always leave us a review on iTunes. And we also have that SMS link because we'd love to hear from everybody. If you want to provide some feedback and you've gotten something from our show, or maybe you're a new ham and you found us on the internet and you want to just let us know how we're doing here. We'd love to hear from you. So you can always use that. And then, as always, we have our Patreon and Buy Us a Beer links. And those are all located on our show notes, the website, and in our YouTube channel. And if you want to reach out with any of our hosts, you can contact us directly on livefreeandham.com. And as always, thanks again for listening. And from all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3.
7-3, guys.